It's great to see everyone here today and everybody trying to adjust to the new time. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in the in Psalms, the first Psalm, verses 1 through 6. A young man was learning to be a paratrooper, and before his first jump, he was given these instructions. Jump when you're told, count to 10 and pull the ripcord. In the unlikely event that your chute doesn't open, pull the emergency ripcord. When you get down, a truck will be there to take you back to the airfield. Well, the young soldier memorized the instructions and climbed aboard the plane. He climbed up and paratroopers started jumping out, and he jumped out and he pulled the ripcord, and sure enough, that chute didn't open, so he pulled the emergency one and it still didn't open. So he says, oh great, and I suppose that truck won't be there to pick me up whenever I get down there. Now, you ever felt like that sometimes in life, that everything was kind of going wrong? You experienced failures and disappointments to the point that you just don't expect anything to go right for you. You know, sometimes the whole world seems like it might be against us. But there are, you know, some people that just seem to breeze through life with no encumbrances. They always land on their feet. Success is at every turn. And, almost to the point where it's almost unfair that anyone should have that much success. Why does it take it to be a person who always lands on their feet? Well, unlike the situation of the young soldier in our story, there is hope for us that we can land on our feet. Now, Psalm 1 offers us an understanding of the good life that differs enormously from the way these things are usually understood today. It turns the common perceptions on its head about what makes a good life. So before we get too far, let's read our text here. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff of the wind, drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of those of the world. Now the leading thought here is that the believer is blessed by God. God is one who blesses people who don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, who refuse evil advice. It is God's law that this person finds in their delight. So it's not in the riches that we see other people gain. That's the opposite of the way the world thinks. In the Psalms, true satisfaction involves not enjoying oneself, but taking delight in the real and living relationship with God. That we do have a relationship with the Almighty God. Now, God is much richer than anyone on this planet, so if you know Bill Gates personally, that's a small comparison to God there, because you know, he's just another finite human like us who just happens to have a lot to his benefit there in worldly possessions. But if you know God, you have it all. You know the Almighty, and you know Him personally, and He'll take care of you. So, the goal of life for the writer of the Psalms and for every believer today is not found in self-fulfillment, but in God. You know, the more we have, the more we have to take care of. The more we gain, the more we want. And it just never seems that anyone reaches that point where I'm satisfied and I have everything I need. You know, there's always more. Jesus spoke about this when he said in Mark 8, verse 35, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. We can live our whole lives on this earth and accumulate it all, and we're just not going to take it with us. It's not going to go with us anywhere. But we're going to leave this life with only memories that those who live on carry within them. And hopefully those memories inspire them to also follow God. And hopefully they inspire them to carry on in that way. If God is at the center of our lives, then everything else is ancillary after that. True happiness is only found there, not in possessions. Now, it's fun to have things, you know, nice car, nice house, and all those kind of things. And They do kind of make things comfortable and everything, but in the end, it's a relationship with God that makes us rich. By failing to trust God and connect with God, we're not going to be happy in this world. No amount of money is going to provide that for us. The Christian and the believer is different from that. The believer is connected with God on a personal level and makes it so. And also that we're blessed in Christ. Like this first psalm, Jesus had promised to his followers would be blessed. His Sermon on the Mount begins with a promise. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Those are the ones who are blessed. Those that humble themselves before God. Those that help others. Those that respect God the way he should be. In this psalm here, the blessed life is described as a tree planted by a stream. Now, if you want to know where a stream is, and you're looking through the woods, or maybe if you're flying over it, you can find that meandering place where the trees are just a little bit greener, a little bit taller. And generally, you'll find there'll be a tree, a stream nearby. Because the blessings that come from that stream enriches that tree. And in that same way, God gives us that continuous blessing. It's not just when the rains come or how much gets in wherever in the forest, but that stream flows and flows at all times. Jesus drew upon this imagery also of a growing plant to describe how his followers are blessed. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. So, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to live, and we're going to live past this life here, then Jesus is the only answer there. And there's no amount of gold in this world that's going to buy someone eternal life. But there's all the mercy and love in the world that will, if we'll only obey. That we remain, as he said, and follow Jesus. So, these places have been planted. Where do we plant ourselves? Where do we put ourselves? Do we plant ourselves in the Bible? Do we plant ourselves in prayer? Do we plant ourselves in study? Do we plant ourselves in helping? Do we do those things that plants us by the stream of life that helps us to grow tall and to grow strong and to prosper? Not in the way that the world might say prosper, but in the way that God says prosper. Now, sometimes our circumstances can rob us of the joy we should have. But God says if we'll trust Him, that joy will come back. And that joy, it won't come back because all is nice and we're on easy street. But that joy will come back because we know that there's one who stands with us. And that on the day of judgment will stand with us. And He will welcome us into that eternal life of eternal bliss. When none of what this whole world tries to throw to us, that Satan introduced into this world, none of that will affect us in any kind of way. Blessed are those that don't follow the world, he said. Blessed are those that follow God. Listen to God's voice. Listen to Him, because that's the only voice that matters. The world's going to tell you you're crazy. The world's going to tell you you're stupid. The world's going to tell you you're wasting your time and your money and your efforts. The world's going to tell you all that. It's going to tell you a lot of things. But what the world can't tell you is how to live forever in heaven and escape the torment that people are going to have. The world can't tell you that, but God can. So that's why Jesus says, remain in me. Stay in me. And you'll overcome this world. And we're blessed with all blessings. He says in what we read, whatever he does prospers. And what a life it is. Not only is the believer blessed by God in Christ, but also whatever he does, he prospers. So if we'll work hard, now there'll be ups and downs, but generally we'll succeed. Generally, if we do a good day's work, then we'll get rewarded for that good day's work. Now, I know there's times of trouble that come, and there's unemployment, and there's things like that, and That's just the way of the world. But by and large, we'll succeed at what we do if we'll remain in God and do what God tells us to do. And we'll fulfill all that He wants in this life for ourselves with that. And not only not talking about just, you know, our needs, but also we'll succeed and prosper as we grow in Him. We'll succeed in overcoming those sins that we have in our life. We'll succeed in overcoming our fears and doubts. We'll succeed in those ways that God wants to help us with. So, it's not about material rewards, but those intangibles, those that we can't see. Often it's for the health of the soul that we find our income inadequate. Often it's for the health of our soul that we suffer grief. Often it's for the health of our soul that our family life is in upheaval. So, often, many times, there's trouble in our soul for these things. But God can rest our soul. He can put it at ease if we'll trust Him. The prosperity the psalmist is speaking about here is that people who trust God have discovered the resource for sustaining their lives in any circumstance. No matter what happens, both good and bad, God is going to be there for us. There's going to be a way. It may look like the world's falling apart, that it's coming down around our heads, but with God, we can take note that He will get us through this. And we're blessed in this time, and we're blessed for eternity. Listen to God's voice once again. Not so with the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. They're not valuable. They're worth nothing. And the wind will blow them away. They're hollow, empty shells of the grain that was there. And you look at them, they may kind of look like the grain. But there's nothing there of any benefit inside. And they'll blow away like the chaff. God talks about the flames, of how they'll be burned up in the fire. That's what the wicked are going to get. But they don't believe that. No, they're not going to tell themselves that. And they'll tell us differently. They'll tell us that there's nothing we can do in our lives, you know, to do anything. They don't believe in God, don't care about following God. You know, we talk about all the awful things that we see around us right now. You know, the mass shootings, the suicides, just awful things. People treating people in awful ways, and child abuse and abortion. I mean, you can go on and just, you know, make a multitude of what's wrong out in this world out there. And yet, if someone said, if we just all followed God, it would be much different. And they'll grumble and say, well, that's not possible, this is not this, and what I'm going to do, and stuff like that, and it won't happen, and things like that. But that's the sad truth, that if we were like we were way back when, we wouldn't need all that. You know, we used to not have that many cops in a town. Now we have them all over. We used to not have to have them in schools. Now we have them all over in schools. We used to not have to have this and that. We used to not have to, you know, prosecute people for bad checks, because if someone didn't have any money, they didn't generally do that. There was always criminals. There was always bad people doing it. But there was a lot less. And now, seemingly good, ordinary people engage in some of those things. So we can see the coarsening of our society as it goes on, that people are less interested in these things. They commit suicide with, you know, great rates now, because they don't have any hope. They don't have any hope to go on in this life, and they just want to end it all. Unfortunately, that doesn't end life there. You know, without hope, there is nothing. And that's why we see so many people going to the doctor and popping pills and worrying and doing these kind of things. And, you know, truly there is a, you know, certain people who do have issues that need to be dealt with by a professional. But by and large, there's just a lot of people who seem to worry too much, who seem to be concerned about things. And I can't help but think that it would at least help if they trusted God, that if they believed in God, placed their faith in God, and that they followed God, they might feel a little bit better about the things that they're going through. Not that some of our worries aren't worth giving time to. Illnesses of ourself, our family, sicknesses, job situations, everything. There's a lot to worry out there about out there in this world. And there's a lot of concern. But in the end, if we trust God, those burdens seem just a little bit less upon our shoulders as we trust Him. So we see from the psalmist here, if we want a good life, it's not in having great possessions. It's not in having a big bank account that we think will get us through to the, you know, the hard times and see us to better times. It's not in trusting in the government. It's not in trusting in anything else but our Lord and Savior and God up above. Jesus came down here to give us an opportunity not to live like the world did. He gave us an opportunity to transcend the world. He gave us an opportunity to live with Him forever. And there's no amount of gold on this earth that can compare to the gold that God has. He owns this gold too. The people who hold it in their hands just don't know about it yet. But He owns everything. And He wants to bless us immensely today. He wants to cherish us immensely today and love us today. And He wants to take us home someday to be with Him forever. Never had to have experience again the troubles this old world throw at us. And He gives us that opportunity to open that door and enter into His kingdom. We just have to take those first steps. If we've backslidden or fallen away, we just have to turn around and decide again that I'm not going to follow this world. You know, it keeps drawing me back into it. And I keep going back and I keep winding up at the old pig's trough trying to eat the swallow there because there's not much out there for me. But with God, there's blessings. With God, there's peace. With God, there's understanding. And we can turn around today and come back to God and take our place in His kingdom again and not lead the life this world has out there to offer for us. And a lot of people think they're living the good life. And they look around and they see people around this world and they see what they live in. And they see it's not much. And they think, oh, I'm so much more blessed than they are. But they don't think about God. They don't believe in God. They don't go to His assembly. They don't study. They don't meditate or do anything like that. They just don't know how poor they really are. They may be rich by the world standards. But in the end, the only standard that matters is God's standard. And that's the one we'll all be measured by someday. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?